We are making billion-dollar commitments before the proof arrives. The question is not whether the bet looks smart today. It is what evidence appears before retreat becomes too expensive. Welcome to the Cato Daily Digest for August 3, 2026.
And the cleanest example is Astra, OpenAI's reported Long Horizon system. It coordinates multiple agents on hard projects and math problems. 10 unsolved problems may have been solved. That sounds meaningful. It is not yet a meaningful evaluation.
Because we are missing the denominator. How many problems did Astra attempt? How many approaches failed? How much expert help went into choosing, formalizing, and checking them? We have a reported compute cost of $2,000, but not the total cost of producing those 10 results.
Math also gives AI unusually generous working conditions. You can generate synthetic problems with known answers. Symbolic tools can check many outputs. Feedback is precise. Either two expressions are equivalent or they are not. Most important work is less cooperative.
A strategy memo can be polished and still wrong. A scientific hypothesis may take months to test. A product decision can succeed because a competitor stumbles. There is no automatic verifier sitting at the end of those tasks.
So, Steelman Astra for me, what would the strongest interpretation be?
My read is that it may represent a real advance in coordinating long chains of reasoning, because hard mathematics punishes small errors. If Astra can maintain coherence across many steps, use tools well, and recover from failed paths, that is valuable. If this holds, we should see reliable proofwriting, formalization of unfamiliar problems, and success across a disclosed set of attempts.
And if the success rate collapses when answers become ambiguous, or when experts stop preparing the task, then you have read it too broadly.
Exactly. It could still be a strong mathematical instrument. That is not the same claim as general reasoning or automated scientific discovery.
The human labor matters too. If experts spend 3 weeks converting a messy question into a form the system can solve, that labor belongs in the evaluation. Otherwise, the machine gets credit for the clean room humans built around it.
That is the verification trap. A visible answer makes the system look self-sufficient while the invisible setup work disappears.
Then disclose the whole funnel. Proposed problems, accepted problems, attempts, failures, expert hours, compute, and final results. A list of trophies tells us less than the path through the tournament.
From the missing denominator in a model evaluation, move to the larger wager being made without that denominator. Amazon has completed its $50 billion OpenAI investment, including $35 billion released before an initial public offering.
That changes the nature of the relationship. The capital is no longer waiting behind a future milestone. It is committed while OpenAI's long-run revenue, margins, and infrastructure needs remain uncertain.
The strongest precedent is Microsoft. Its cloud business went from roughly $12 billion in annual revenue to about $237 billion over a decade. That shows a large infrastructure turn can work.
But that comparison can become lazy. Microsoft did not purchase a cloud future with one check. It rewired sales, engineering, incentives, product packaging, and customer relationships for years.
Agreed. Expenditure was the entry fee, not the evidence. The evidence arrived through organizational execution and compounding revenue.
Meta shows the harder financial path. It can rent compute today while building owned campuses that take years to come online. For a long period, both bills overlap. Revenue has to absorb the rental cost, construction cost, power commitments, and depreciation.
My strong view is that AI revenue will grow quickly, but capital intensity will decide who captures the value. The best counter is that demand may expand fast enough to keep every useful accelerator busy. In that future, overlapping capacity is preparation rather than waste.
The other future is less comfortable. Model prices fall, customers gain bargaining power, and specialized chips become obsolete before a campus earns its keep. Revenue rises, yet returns on the physical assets remain thin.
That distinction matters. A growing market does not guarantee attractive economics for every layer supplying it.
What result would change your confidence?
AI revenue growing faster than infrastructure cost for several quarters, with stable margins and high utilization across owned capacity. If spending keeps rising faster while utilization softens, then the forward bet is outrunning its proof.
Follow infrastructure spending into its physical requirements, where abstract investment becomes power demand, tax policy, and local consent.
4 states have rolled back or paused data center tax breaks. 9 more are considering repeal. Equipment exemptions matter because servers and chips represent about $40 billion of a typical $59 billion campus.
Remove those exemptions and the added tax can approach $3 billion per gigawatt. That is a cost large enough to alter a financing model, even if it does not kill the project.
I have treated local legitimacy as a potential constraint on construction. You think that goes too far?
The evidence supports stronger bargaining. It does not yet prove binding scarcity. Virginia chose an electricity consumption tax expected to raise $600 million a year. Louisiana requires projects such as Meta's planned 5-gigawatt build-out to fund their power needs if they want to keep tax breaks. Those terms may enable construction by settling who pays.
So conditionality can reduce later risk.
Yes. A developer gets clearer obligations. Utilities know who funds generation and grid upgrades. Residents get a claim on tax receipts or community investment. Politicians can show that households are not quietly underwriting a global cloud business.
The best counter is that $3 billion per gigawatt eventually lands somewhere. Operators may charge cloud customers more. Utilities may spread grid costs across ratepayers. States may create bespoke exemptions for favored companies. The headline policy and the final burden can diverge.
Which is why the human accounting cannot stop at the campus gate. Residents experience the deal as electricity bills, public services, land use, water demand, jobs, and trust. A spreadsheet labels those inputs. A household experiences consequences.
What evidence would upgrade stronger bargaining into a real construction constraint?
Projects delayed across several jurisdictions, delivered power costs rising enough to change site selection, or expected utilization falling because operators cannot secure affordable capacity. Until then, states are negotiating the allocation of benefits and costs.
I can see the distinction. Today's evidence updates my view. Local politics has gained leverage, but leverage is not the same as a veto.
And durable consent may be productive infrastructure. A project that settles its power bill and community obligations early may face fewer lawsuits and fewer policy reversals later.
Connect conditional public incentives with conditional technical architecture. Both preserve leverage before dependency becomes irreversible.
Alibaba has priced Qwen 3.8 max at $2 per million input tokens and $6 per million output tokens. That is below Kimmy's $3 and $15. Capability still needs independent testing, but price substitution is becoming practical.
Microsoft's Project Perception shows the architecture. It routes cyber tasks between a fast in-house model and frontier models according to quality, reliability, latency, and cost. Microsoft reports a 96% CyberGym score at nearly half the cost.
Vendor reported, so hold the applause until outsiders reproduce it.
Yes, but the strategic idea survives even if the exact score falls. The valuable layer may be the router. Telemetry about which model handles which task, under which conditions, at what cost.
That makes model choice a continuing decision rather than a marriage. But substitution creates obligations. If one model writes the answer and another checks it, who records the provenance? Who notices a security regression after the route changes?
The adopter does. Article 50 of the European Union AI Act requires disclosures and machine-readable markings for specified AI interactions and generated content. Penalties can reach 15 million euros, or 3% of worldwide turnover.
Provenance therefore belongs in interfaces, output schemas, media pipelines, retained metadata, and audit logs. A policy page cannot reconstruct a missing chain after deployment.
Security has the same shape. Hugging Face reconstructed roughly 17,600 attacker actions over 2.5 days. The individual flaws were familiar: sandbox escape, code execution, credential theft, cloud metadata access, and supply chain pivots.
The new mechanism was speed and combination. An agent could test one weakness, carry the result into the next step, and keep moving. Defenders are not facing a magical new vulnerability. They are facing familiar vulnerabilities assembled at machine pace.
Then there is provider exit. GitHub retired GitHub models. Amazon Web Services stopped accepting new customers for older services, including Bedrock Agents Classic, Kendra, and Amazon Q Business.
A managed service can disappear beneath a working product. Your application still looks healthy on Tuesday. On Wednesday, the foundation has an end-of-life notice.
My read is that companies must control the parts that preserve choice: prompts, evaluations, tool schemas, routing logic, telemetry, provenance records, and security policy. If those remain portable, providers can be replaced. If migration still requires rebuilding the whole product, I have overstated the control.
And the strongest counter is operational drag. Supporting several providers costs money. Abstraction can hide useful native features. A single vendor may deliver better reliability because the stack is integrated.
True. Portability is not free. It is insurance, and the premium should reflect the cost of being trapped.
Shift from portable software components to portable institutional knowledge, evaluations, recorded answers, and evidence that survives changing vendors or leaders.
This is where reversibility becomes a management practice. Before a major commitment, define the result that permits the next stage. Preserve the test, the answer, and the assumptions that produced it.
Management interviews are a good example. Ask the same what questions across meetings. What changed? What failed? What would customers say is worse? Then compare the answers over time.
And whenever a leader gives a positive example, request a negative one.
That move is simple and revealing. A rehearsed story usually contains a polished win. It rarely contains a specific loss, the decision behind it, and what changed afterward.
Save the hardest question for late in the meeting. By then, you have accumulated claims to test against one another. Evasion becomes visible.
This gives us the new cross-story insight. Reversibility is not merely the ability to exit. It is the ability to carry evidence across the exit. A new vendor, executive, or policy regime should not reset organizational memory to zero.
That sharpens my version. Exportable software without exportable judgment only moves the dependency. You retain the files, but lose the reasons.
And stage commitment needs thresholds, not "we will review progress." Say, "we expand after utilization reaches this level," or "we renew after this evaluation passes on negative cases."
Then failure produces information before it produces ruin.
There is a cost. Staging can slow a company while a competitor commits at full speed and captures the market.
That is the best counter. Two futures again. In one, caution protects you from a bad dependency. In the other, caution becomes hesitation and the first mover compounds. The practical answer is not endless optionality. It is making the irreversible step only after the relevant proof arrives.
Robinhood gives us a revenue test in real time. It reported $156 million in quarterly prediction market revenue, more than 10 times the level a year earlier.
Prediction markets now produce 20% of trading revenue. For the first time, they surpassed both stock and crypto trading, ranking behind only options. That has demonstrated commercial reordering, not a product roadmap.
But one quarter can contain an unusually favorable event calendar. Elections, policy fights, sports, and market volatility can concentrate attention. Novelty can also pull users in before ordinary habits form.
My read is that prediction markets have crossed from experiment into a serious Robinhood category because customers are already paying at scale. If that holds, revenue should persist across quieter periods, repeat users should deepen, and acquisition costs should remain sensible.
If volume falls when the event calendar cools, then this was a favorable moment rather than durable economics.
Exactly. Present evidence earns the next question. It does not answer every future one.
And there is a human wrinkle. A platform can turn uncertainty itself into inventory. Politics, sport, and public events become contracts people refresh all day.
Which may improve collective forecasting or merely package anxiety as engagement. The evidence we need includes forecast quality and user behavior, not revenue alone.
Contrast Robinhood's measurable but uncertain commercial signal with Mann's warning that evidence can guide action without resolving the age.
Adam Tooze returns to Thomas Mann's The Magic Mountain for a useful reason. Literature can help us inhabit unstable time without pretending to decode what comes next.
The novel Sanatorium suspends people inside routines of diagnosis, mortality, meals, and waiting. Public history continues beyond the walls, but shared time has become unreliable.
Settembrini argues for liberal progress. NAFTA answers with authoritarian intensity. Their debate does not reach a satisfying intellectual settlement.
The July crisis interrupts it. Events overtake arguments that still feel unfinished. That is closer to lived history than the tidy version we construct afterward.
Technology creates a similar temptation. We want one forecast that tells us whether Astra generalizes, whether the campuses pay, whether prediction markets last. Then we can act without regret.
But a forecast is not moral permission. People still choose who bears the power cost, whose work is measured, which failures are disclosed, and how much dependency is acceptable.
Mann's answer is modest. Dignity appears in love, sweetness, and living with others, between reason and death.
I would call that civilization as practice, not a final theory. You preserve enough trust for people to keep making choices together while the argument remains unresolved.
That is not an excuse for weak evidence.
No, it tells us what evidence cannot do. Measurement can expose a bad claim, set a threshold, and keep a commitment reversible. It cannot remove responsibility from the person making the choice.
We began with a missing denominator. The deeper risk is treating the blank space as permission to commit. Before that space hardens into concrete, contracts, or code, ask one question. What measurable result must arrive before your next irreversible commitment?
Until next time.
Keep the proof close.